Fáilte. My name is Andrew Healy, and I'm a lover and drinker of Irish whiskey. I'm on a journey of discovery to learn as much as I can about the great spirit of the Emerald Isle. Along that journey, I'm lucky enough to meet other people who are passionate about Irish whiskey, and the My Favourite Irish podcast is their story and their favourite Irish whiskey. Whether that's their current favourite, their first ever dram, or one that has a special place in their life. On today's episode, I got to spend some virtual time recently with Alan Dwyer. Alan is the president of the Irish Whiskey Society here in America, and he's been an avid supporter and drinker of Irish whiskey for a couple of decades. During that time, he's seen the modern Irish whiskey industry grow, from the number of distilleries that you could count on one hand to where it is today, with over four dozen working distilleries on the island of Ireland. We talked about Alan, his work with the Irish Whiskey Society here in America, including the launch of the Society's inaugural awards this year, the Izzies, and of course, his favourite Irish whiskey, which is Powers John's Lane. Listen along. Fáilte Arás to the bar. Everyone, you're very welcome back to the bar. A little bit of a different setup today. We're at a virtual bar. I'm here in Napa Valley, and I'm joined by Alan Dwyer on the opposite side of the country in the Boston area. Alan, Fáilte, you're very welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So the reason you're here, Alan, is obviously we'll talk a bit more about the Irish Whiskey Society in America in a bit. You're president of the society. I'm a member, joined back in the spring, and joined you last week on a celebration of Powers Irish Whiskey. A fascinating two-hour virtual tasting that you hosted. And it was obvious in that, Alan, that you absolutely love Powers Irish Whiskey. So, tell us why.
Don't try to hide it. It's been my favorite probably since I started drinking Irish whiskey. So it's really only goes back about 15 years, but back when I got into Irish whiskey, there were only the four distilleries, and most of what you drank was either something out of Middleton or Bushmills. And then you had some unique offerings coming out of Cooley, but, Powers was the number one Irish whiskey at the time still. And so when you went over there, it kind of, you baptism by fire, and every way you went, it was either Jameson, Powers, Paddy, or, if you wanted to pay up, you could get Redbreast. So, that's what got you into it. And then what kept me into it, I think, has just been, how the brand's evolved over the last, dozen years.
Yeah. So I remember growing up, Alan, I remember the long, tall, skinny bottle. I think is probably the best way to describe it. It had the classic gold label on it, the gold, which is what it was called. Its modern iteration has changed dramatically. And you covered that when you did the Celebration of Powers event, talked about why the new bottle is the way it is. But you've got a history of drinking the current range before they were the current range. You've seen it evolve into what we have today.
Yeah, you made me just think of something too, because the old bottle, I'm guessing, is more liked by publicans, because if you're in Ireland, most of them are upside down in those little, they can easily pour. The new version is this more of a squat bottle shaped like a pot still. Not going to work in that upside down apparatus. So it just kind of made me think of that as you were talking about the bottle change. But so the gold label bottles were what I'd call traditional, although it's been around a couple hundred years, so it's gone through many iterations, but that's the one I first became accustomed to. The rebrand that was done about 10 years ago when they introduced John's Lane, I think that was a pretty big moment in Irish history, in recent Irish history or Irish whiskey history. Yeah. Because when that John's Lane came out, that was the first new single malt, single pot still. And it, I think, took the industry by storm at the time, and everyone was like, wow. And, you know, that was kind of a game changer. Got a whole new crop of people into pot still. And, but it also got people into the brand and that new style of bottle and labeling.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, Alan, because one of the things, again, I learned last week during the celebration was that back in the day, Powers Go Label, as we know it or knew it, was a pot still whiskey. It was 100% pot still in its at its time. And it was always considered a premium whiskey as a result.
Yes. So that, yeah. So if you go way back, it was a very premium whiskey. But I think most of them at the, you know, going back pre-prohibition, pot still was the style.
Yeah.
You know, the heavy, you know, heavier component, and fell out of favor for all the reasons that are fairly well documented between the wars and prohibition and such. But it became a blend, I want to say, what, in the late 60s or early 60s? I can't remember now the dates, but it switched over. So that was another thing too with the John's Lane. Not only was it a nod to the old distillery in Dublin, but it brought back the pot still, the full pot still.
Yeah, into the range. Yeah.
I tell people when I share Powers with people, the gold, it's one of the best blends out there. And I think one of the reasons is because, unlike most blends that are predominantly grain based with a 20-30% malt content, you know, Powers is predominantly pot still with a small grain component. So you're getting a lot of that pot still in the blend, you know, and then it's a great value whiskey, you know, as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I certainly, and we talked about this on the event, I've come back to Powers recently, and I'm really taken by the range. Obviously, you talked about the gold label, which is a little bit of a misnomer of sorts, given the bright red color that exists on the new one. And then, you know, we tasted through what we had on the event, and I got to the John's Lane, and I can see why it's your favorite Irish whiskey. I think it's an absolutely stunning, stunning drop. And really enjoyed it. So we've talked about the Celebration of Powers event that you hosted with the Irish Whiskey Society America. So it would be great to have some history on the society. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that you've been a member since the get-go, now president. Would love to know how it came about and why and where it's going.
Yeah, so it formed in 2010, and it followed by about a year the formation of the Irish Whiskey Society in Dublin. So kind of an offshoot from that. And at the time, that was the only chapter, the Dublin chapter. So we met in a bar in Boston.
Okay.
in October of 2010, it was kind of a Facebook posting, hey, anyone interested kind of thing. So there were probably five or six of us that met up that didn't know each other in a bar and talked about it. And, you know, from there it was born. That was in the old Whiskey Priest in Boston, which is now condos, I think. It's the bar is not there. They redid the entire seaport and they took that bar away. But for the first couple of years, we would meet there. You know, and back then there were only a handful of Irish whiskeys.
Yeah.
So we've been, I guess, technically 12 years.
Okay.
We just finished our 12th year. So, you know, we're a little bit ahead of the game, I would argue. And then we've seen the huge resurgence in Irish whiskey, you know. So there were four distilleries, and then couple years in, Dingle came along, and now there's been the explosion of, you know, what, 40 plus.
Yeah, I think we're almost headed to 50 plus, I think, at this stage.
Yeah. So it literally went from we were trying to just get people into Irish whiskey at the time because, you know, and you would do tasting events and you only had a handful of whiskeys to choose from. So that's kind of what my role at the time was, trying to come up with creative tasting themes. Because there's only so many times you can, you know, do Jameson Powers patties. So, you know, you got to kind of try to mix it up and come up with interesting concepts and themes. So that was kind of what I got into initially. And I've pretty much carried that through to this day. So when I try to come up with ideas first around, and then how the whiskeys can fit into that idea.
And obviously it's a little easier now to be choosing whiskey, different whiskeys from different distilleries. You're not tied to such a small number. There's obviously a substantial number, but not all of it obviously available here yet.
Correct. It's getting better though. And we shouldn't complain too much, I guess, because especially in Boston, we do pretty well. We get a pretty good distribution here compared to a lot of the states. But
and being on the other coast, I can't complain either. I think we do pretty well here. Obviously, there's exceptions, but I certainly know in a lot of the control states, there's less availability. So.
Mm-hmm. But that's why, you know, so you were asking about the society. You know, one of the things I try to do is to link everybody together, because we have members across the whole country. You know, so I haven't counted recently, but, you know, it's over 35, might be pushing 40 different states are represented with members. You know, so obviously we can't do physical tastings regularly with everybody, and COVID obviously added a further complication, but we can do virtual tastings. And that was, you know, partly the idea behind the Celebration of Powers was, you know, we do paid events, but this one, the feeling was Powers is available pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of an iconic beloved brand, and let's do a celebration of it and talk about it and get people together that are passionate about Powers, and we can talk about the history. And we got Carol Quinn from Irish Distillers involved, and, you know, just kind of, it was something I'd wanted to do, and it was trying to pick the right time. You know, and it was a BYOP event, you know, so figured everybody would, and most of the people on had multiple iterations of Power, so that was good to see. Everybody was drinking something different and had something either old or new, so that was kind of cool. Different versions, different labels, so it was kind of that was nice to see. I was glad to see that there were others that were as, if not more, passionate about the brand.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I learned a huge amount in those couple of hours while I was sipping on the three Powers that I have. But I noticed there was a number of members. Obviously, you mentioned they were passionate about it. They had some really unique bottlings from, I believe one was possibly from the Palace Bar, or the Friend at Hand?
Both. I think both were represented. Yep.
So it's great to see that there is a passion for Powers. And obviously those who are passionate can find and search out these unique bottlings, which is great. The other thing, Alan, that you mentioned while we were on the Celebration of Powers was the Society has taken big strides this year on a number of fronts, but probably the most interesting one has been that you've launched, I think you're calling it the Izzy's, is it? The Irish Whiskey Society America Awards. What's that all about?
Yeah, so that's a play. So Irish Whiskey Society America, or IWSA, so, you know, phonetic translation, kind of came up with Izzy's, similar to the Emmys or the Grammys.
Okay.
And just as a way to kind of have a little nickname for it. And then the idea behind the awards itself is just to kind of recognize everything that's been going on with Irish whiskey in America. So this one is very much focused on whiskeys that are available here in the USA. So, because there are other awards that go on in Ireland that are great. I've attended them. They've been doing that for a number of years now. So it's similar to that, but things that don't make their way over here or aren't available yet are not technically eligible this year. But there's plenty of stuff. So we just, you know, similar type of award program, different categories for favorite single malt and single pot still, and breaking some things down by cost, you know, everyday drinker versus super premium, and just to kind of favorite peated whiskey, things like that, to get people involved, you know, so get people talking. So we've structured it. There's a nomination process going on right now till the end of the month. And then we'll pick the top three vote getters to create a kind of a final ballot that'll go out, and it'll be open for about a month. And we're making this available to everybody. So you don't have to be, well, not everybody. We're making this available to U.S. citizens or residents.
Okay. Makes sense.
That are of legal drinking age.
Of course.
But you do not have to be a member of the society to participate. The only reason we wanted to keep it in the States was just, you know, because it's trying to determine the favorites of Americans. So we didn't want to have the Irish influence necessarily, because that could have dominated the voting.
Makes sense.
But so that's, you know, and then we'll announce the winners in January.
Fantastic. You say open to the public, which is great. I think it's a wonderful thing to do, that it goes beyond the membership of the society. It allows whiskey drinkers at every level to participate. I know I've voted myself. I'm going to say it took me maybe 2.5 minutes. So really quick process. You've done a great job of setting it up and structuring it so that it's really easy for people to engage with. Easy to get on the website also. There's a link from the homepage. So it's IrishWhiskeyUSA.com. Isn't that the site?
Yes, that's the website. All of our social media platforms are Irish Whiskey USA.
Okay.
And you can get the ballot there. You can get it on Instagram, Facebook. The link is real easy. Goes right to the ballot. And, you know, like you said, less than 3 minutes. You can answer all the categories.
Answer all the categories with your left hand with the mouse while there's a glass of whiskey in the other hand, or right hand with your mouse and a glass of whiskey in your left hand.
Yeah, you got to learn to be ambidextrous.
So speaking of that, Alan, and I know we have a few other things we're going to talk about, we should probably pour a little bit of, or you may actually already have some John's Lane in your glass, but I've got some here. I'm just going to pour a little bit of this in my glass as we continue talking. This is your favorite. What is it about the John's Lane that you love?
I think I mentioned when it came out, and it was, you know, considered a game changer, but it was, I think, number one, the style. I like the single pot still is my favorite style.
Okay.
Of Irish whiskey. You know, and at the time, you know, Redbreast and Greenspot were the only two that had survived. And I was a huge Greenspot fan. And Greenspot, to be fair, is still right up there with Powers as far as, you know, favorite whiskey. The John's Lane was everything I liked about, at the time, the existing Powers, and it was just ramped up. So Powers Gold, which, you know, was the blend, was just a great everyday drinker, great companion with a Guinness, and had that higher pot still content in it.
Yeah.
And then at the time, the premium Powers was the 12-year reserve, which was just an aged blend. But that was, you know, kind of the best Powers available at the time. So when they finally came out with John's Lane, that was everything that was great about the existing Powers, just kind of, you know, another notch higher. So you got that great spice and kind of vanilla leathery notes. You know, so it a lot of times it depends on what you're in the mood for. You know, if you're looking for something really fruity or sweet, you know, Powers is probably not your go-to, you know. So, but that's what's great about the single pot stills is that, you know, they're at the time they're all made, they were all made by Middleton, and they can come up with such different flavor profiles, you know, between Redbreast and Powers, Green Spot, you know, they're all different in their own way.
But
Powers is the one though that I always kind of found myself going back to, that to me just kind of stood a little bit above the others.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting. I've only started drinking or tasting them over the last number of weeks, and as I said a few minutes ago, I'm very taken by the John's Lane. You make a great point there. You talk about its flavor profile, that it doesn't have as much of that kind of ripe, appley fruit, sweet fruit character, but there is still, for me on the palate, any, I can only speak for me, there's a almost like a caramelly, chocolate, fudgy type sweetness, which is very different from the orchard fruits.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of that's, you know, because it's more predominantly the bourbon cask influence, right? It's got to be what's doing that. You're not getting any of the sherry, you know, as much sherry component that you get on the others.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. So, yeah, I'm obviously we're not in person, but I'll raise my glass to you and I'll do a virtual
drink
on the sláinte. So,
all right.
So obviously we said it was a, you know, it's been a big year for the society. A couple of other things. I joined, you know, back in the spring, and I've seen a number of the announcements come through in the year. But you had your, I believe it was your first society bottling got released and tasted this year.
Yeah, so that came out, I believe, just in time for St. Patrick's Day. So late February, early March. 2 years in the making. COVID delayed that quite a bit because that was a 10-year premium blend to celebrate our 10-year anniversary.
Okay.
Which would have been
2 years ago.
October of 20. So it took, you know, a year, and it got, you know, I won't bore everyone with the details of what went on during COVID between shipping delays and all the other stuff, but it just took a while to actually get it here. But it's okay. It's still an anniversary whiskey, and we're pretty happy with it. So we did that with the McKay family from Irish American brand and Ackle Island.
Up in County Mayo there, yeah.
Yep. And, you know, so, you know, and what I liked about that was, you know, it's independent, Irish owned, but the brand itself is celebrating the connection between Ireland and America. And so the Irish American brand name, you know, they trademarked the name, linked it together as one word, you know, their logos, the Jeannie Johnson, you know, so they're celebrating all the Irish that came to America. So it was a real good story and to go along with what we're doing as a society. So yeah. I thought it all worked. And, you know, and then I also wanted to do something that was a little unique in terms of just the whiskey itself. So this was a, you know, a 10-year, so it was an age statement blend, which you don't see too many of those. And it has a high malt content. It's 70% malt.
Okay. You
know, as opposed to usually it's the other way around. It's mostly, you know, like I said earlier, most blends are high grain content. So high malt content, age statement. So it had some unique qualities to it. So we were pretty happy with it.
Yeah. And I was lucky enough to join. You did a virtual tasting where we toasted the society. Obviously, I'm a relative a new member, but you've been around since the get-go, and we opened, you, everyone who had a bottle opened it, and I have to say I really enjoyed it. You mentioned that the high malt content, that definitely came through when I tasted it. It gave it lovely depth and body, and, you know, lovely mouthfeel to it. So I know you went through a traumatic time getting it here, but it's definitely a nice whiskey when it finally got into people's glasses.
Yeah, so now we can, we're already halfway to our next big anniversary. So, you know, we'll try to look at the bright side.
Now, I do know the other big thing that you announced this year is something that actually is close to my heart, in that there's now a distillery 4 miles from where I grew up. I grew up in the village of Kiltearnan. So the next village south of there is Enniskerry, the first village, the north end of Wicklow. And in Powerscourt, there's a distillery. I got to visit there a couple of months ago when I was back. But great news for you that you were able to announce the society's first cask.
Yeah, so it was laid down. It was the first cask laid down in 2019, January. So not too long after they started, you know, pouring their own liquid. So it's a little over 3 years now, but we announced that this year as well. So yes, it was a big year for us, but that was a great story too, because that was one of the newer distilleries. It's only been open a few years, as you said, and kind of had visited them several times, was there when they were first breaking ground and converting the old mill on the Powerscourt estate. So it's been kind of nice to see that develop and evolve.
Yeah, and then, for sure.
You know, and then have the cask now. So that's part of, you know, their cask program. So it's a 10-year aging process. So
okay.
We've got 7 years or so to go before we do anything with that.
I'm doing my maths right, Alan. That's going to be close to 20 years for the society, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be now that you say that. Somebody, I think, asked me when we did the tasting, the for Cullen Powerscourt tasting a month or so ago. They said, what are you planning on doing with it? And I said, I haven't really given it a lot of thought because it's still a number of years away. And there's going to be so much more we do. But yeah, it's a good idea. It'll probably will coincide with that. So.
Yeah,
I'll start working on the labels now.
You might get them in time.
Yeah. Well, we'll hope there's not a global pandemic.
We've come through one of those, so fingers crossed there won't be another one on the horizon.
But like you said, that may work out well.
So you mentioned Powerscourt and the cask there. So on top of everything you've done this year, and you've been busy, you have a busy year next year, and part of that is going to be, I believe, the Society's first trip to Ireland.
Yeah, so we had set up to start doing annual trips a few years ago, and everything got derailed for obvious reasons with the shutdowns and travel restrictions. So this year, you know, Ireland didn't really reopen until mid-March. So, and everything was still a little uncertain, even through June. In terms of travel restrictions, so didn't feel comfortable kind of starting it up again this year.
Okay,
but everything's been lifted at this point, so feel pretty comfortable with being able to try to organize and set something up again for 2023. So works out well, because they've already announced Whiskey Live with a lot of advance notice in May of next year.
Okay,
so we're going to be able to go over and spend the week leading up to the Whiskey Live Dublin on Friday the 19th. So we're going to be a Monday through Friday kind of Dublin trip.
Okay.
We've got a couple of short road trips planned, one to Powerscourt, where we'll be able to see the estate and the gardens and the waterfall and take a tour. Got a nice food pairing tour set up, and you know, we'll also be able to sample from our cask.
Excellent.
So that'll be, you know, so that'll be about 4 years old at the time. And so that'll be you know, nice. That'll be a nice day. We've got some other trips planned and events around Dublin with some of the pubs and distilleries. It's not all about, you know, there's enough free time though, kind of a balance, because it's, we're not going to just see how much we can drink for 5 days.
So, and then go to Whiskey Live.
Yeah. I was going to say, we gotta pace ourselves for Whiskey Live, but you know, there's so much that Dublin has to offer, and
Well, I'm obviously biased on that front, as you would know, and being from Dublin, there's a lot to see and do there. Obviously, the distillery scene is now much bigger than it was when I left, but there's all the historic places to go as well, and obviously some great pubs, great restaurants, an endless amount of historic places for people to go and visit. So I think it's great that you've planned it around Whiskey Live. It gives people something to look forward to, and they can actually taste whiskies then at the RDS from distilleries that they wouldn't have got to go to during the week. So,
nothing else too. I mean, part of the whole reason we started this back in 2010 was, you know, we used to say this back then. I didn't coin the phrase. This was coined by the founder, the first president, Rich Nagel, but it's all about the crack.
Yeah. You know?
But, and so it was about getting together and, you know, sharing stories, sharing a whiskey. So part of the trip idea is just a lot of these people, you know, we've only met virtually.
Exactly.
You know, because they live across the country or where. So this way, you know, hopefully gives us an opportunity to gather, you know, and, you know, if nothing else, share a whiskey in a Dublin pub.
So speaking of Dublin pubs, you, even though you're, you know, born and raised in the Boston area, you know your way around Dublin pubs, as do I. I can probably guess what your favorite would be straight away. It's probably, I'm going to put words in your mouth, and it's probably going to be the Palace Bar, because they have such an incredible reputation for their whiskey selection. I'm going to guess that's your favorite, but is there one or two others that
that'd be my favorite. I'd say Dublin Pub, but I don't think it's because of the whiskey selection. That obviously helps.
Yeah.
But, just the pub itself is the historical nature of it. Just a beautiful pub, both upstairs and downstairs. So you can just kind of sit back and have a pint. And, you know, just kind of look around. And then the fact that they have one of the best whiskey selections obviously helps. And, you know, Willie, the owner, great guy. So there's just a lot to like about going to that. You know, they host a lot of events. So it's just a great place to have a pint, have a whiskey.
And of course, it's located right there in the beating heart of Dublin City, right there on Main Street. So,
So that's great. Yeah. So I never miss that. That's always an appointment going when I go to Dublin, as they might say. But there's so many, you know, and probably haven't even scratched the surface, even though I've been to Dublin a dozen times. But you know, there are so many great places. The Long Hall's another one, just a beautiful, old pub. But on both sides, north and south of the Liffey, you can find, you know, it's not hard to find a good pub.
That's a fair comment. And I know, Alan, you're a big fan of going to another part of the country. Obviously, us Dubs have rivalries with probably every county in Ireland. But one of the big ones is with the folks from the kingdom, from Kerry.
Yeah.
And I know you are, because you've been a longtime supporter of Irish whiskey, I know you were, I think they call it, you're a founding father at Dingle Distillery. Is that right?
Yes. And so I have a cask that is 9.5 years old. So I'm getting to put up or shut up time with that. So I'm going to have to, in the next year or two, kind of get to a decision point, but nobody's released a double digit age statement Dingle whiskey yet. So I probably will not be the first, because I still have to figure it all out and get the bottles done and back to America somehow. But, and that could be a little bit of more of a process than, you know, living there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I start that process next year, you know, it's going to be a 10, 11-year-old whiskey, maybe a 12-year-old whiskey. So looking forward to that. That's been a lot of fun. That was one of the first things I did, you know, back in, would have been 2013, I believe.
Okay. And obviously, if you're a founding father at Dingle, I'm going to guess that you've traveled to Kerry more than once or a number of times. Any favorite pub down there? I know it's again like asking to pick a favorite child or a favorite pet, but is there one place you'd go to when you go to Kerry for a
pint? So yeah, it depends. In Dingle, Fox, the hardware pub, and yeah, Dick Max are both great. And in Killarney, you've got the Celtic Bar, which is a little bit different than not your traditional pub, but they've got the biggest whiskey selection in the country. Just it depends on what mood you're in. Courtney's Bar in Killarney is a great pub too.
Okay.
Nice whiskey selection. They have music every night. So depends on what part of Kerry I'm in, but those are some that I always make a point of getting to.
Okay, good, good. I will share links to all this in the details so people can take your recommendations as somebody who is well whiskey traveled in Ireland, and they can go hunt down some selections there. We should probably wrap it up. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks for your passion, which I saw last week when you hosted the celebration of powers for the society. Thanks for all that you do for the society. It's appreciated as a newish member. I'm grateful for all the work you and your predecessors have done to get us to where we are today, and we can all enjoy and celebrate the Irish whiskey renaissance as it continues.
No, great. Yeah, thanks for having me. And everybody get out there and vote. Yeah. Vote for the Izzies or nominate for the Izzies, and we'll because it all is a lot more fun if everybody participates. You know, this is just like one more way that we can kind of do stuff together if we can't all be together at a pub drinking, our favorite whiskey. At least we can talk about it and, maybe get some good debates about what we think the favorite or best whiskey is right now this year.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. Good on you for coming up with it and going through the effort of getting it pushed out there. It's great news for the industry to be recognized by consumers here in the States for what you're doing. And as we said a few minutes ago, it only takes 2 to 3 minutes to nominate your faves and send it on to the next level. Okay, Alan. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. I'm going to raise my glass to you.
All right, thank you.
There isn't too much John's Lane left in mine, but yeah, sláinte to you. And as you had said a few minutes ago, I haven't actually met you in person, so I look forward to actually sitting in your company and sharing a glass of one of your favorites or my favorites or maybe something new that neither of us have tried at some stage in the future. So. So great. Thanks again. Right. And appreciate everything you do.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode. You'll find more episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find the My Favorite Irish video series at irishwhiskeylad.com. That's Irish Whiskey with an E, LAD.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd appreciate it if you could take a couple of minutes to leave a review or a rating at your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, sláinte wá.